Welcome to the Self-Development Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Apodaca. Hello and welcome back to the Self-Development Podcast. Today I am with Rufina. She's my friend that I met through Instagram, actually. She lives in Australia, so it's actually Thursday there where she's recording, and it's Wednesday here in California where I'm recording, so that's kind of a little fun fact. But Rufina, how about you introduce yourself to our audience really quick? Could you just tell a little bit about yourself and maybe include a humorous story or fun fact from when you were a kid as well?
Sure thing. My name's Rufina and I'm a florist here in Australia and have my own studio at home. And a little humorous story about me, being a teacher, I have a very stressful life and sometimes I don't remember everything. So I ended up turning up to work with two different pairs of shoes. So that caused quite a bit of a stir and giggle in the classroom and I just ran through the day. Yeah, exactly. So I took that and ran with it as a lesson for humility. So finished off there with two different shoes and didn't mind.
That's great. It's actually funny that you mentioned that. When I was in, so this is after high school, so I really didn't have any excuse at this point. I was for like a year wearing two separate pairs of shoes, like at the same time. So one shoe would be from Nike and the other one was from New Balance.
And then you noticed a year later.
Well, I knew the whole time I was being frugal, or that's what I told myself, because the left pair of one of them had worn out and the right of the other one had worn out. So that's, I just like, well, I can just mix and match and I'll be good to go.
That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, today we would like to kind of dive into the topic of turning your passion into a job or turning your passion into a side hustle. And that's something that you've done with your floristry business. Exactly. You said that you operate it out of your home. And that's just something awesome. And I think a lot of people listening who care about self-development, who want to live life on their terms, would love to find a way to take the thing that they're passionate about, whether it be flowers or video games or teaching or singing, whatever it is, and make a living out of it, or at least some money to kind of supplement
exactly
what they're doing.
That's right. Yeah.
So could you just begin by telling us your story of how did that all come about?
Sure. Well, the catalyst of my story was, well, I had brain surgery 2 years ago, so that put a pause on my teaching career. And during that time, it was a long, arduous recovery, so I had a lot of thinking time. And I realized that it was time to be creative. So I took my passion for nature and I ran with it. I went into Pearson's School of Floristry and enrolled. After I recovered and realized this is the direction I needed for my well-being. And funnily enough, it was the right direction to help cater for the hearing loss because that was the major impairment that I got after brain surgery. So floristry really started from a really big trauma in my life. And I think when you have a trauma, you really need to pause and really take that in and listen to it and ask yourself, who am I? And that's exactly what I did. I took the time and asked myself, who am I and what do I need right now to restore my well-being? So after enrollment, I went through the course and realized it was restorative, graduated, and just started a studio at home and do my bouquets for friends, really anyone who messages or calls me, and it's taking off.
That's incredible. And so I want to ask a few more questions about your story with that. When was the moment that you decided to do that? Was it while you were in the hospital? Was it before you knew that you kind of needed the surgery kind of leading up to it? Or what? How did that work?
In the hospital, I knew I had to think of something else because it was a painful recovery. And well, the way I can describe it, it was like being in a huge head-on collision, and I just had to wait it out. And the best thing to do was just to think about my values and my interest at that point. But it was 6 months down the track. I did go back to teaching, and I used that as a context to assess whether it was a right fit for me. And I realized I wasn't capable anymore. I could still be kind to the children. I could still love them and deliver the content. I couldn't hear them as well. So I didn't want the children to have a deficit on my part. So I realized this was the time to retrain and move on.
That's a powerful story of just how you didn't let that become this awful thing of, oh no, I can no longer teach, but you saw the opportunity in it to choose a new way forward, to decide what it was that you actually wanted to do. Could you explain to us what it is that you love about floristry? Like, what about that makes you feel alive, creates a spark in your day, or however you think about it?
The thing that I loved most was that it was healing. I took my strength, which was appreciation for beauty and nature, and I committed that to my studies and my practice at home with flowers. And I realized that there was so much healing and wellness that came with flowers. And that's why I started my 52 Bouquets My Way project. And I give my bouquets away every week. This is to the side of my business. And watching everyone light up and glow when I say, this is a donation, this is for you, and enjoy it. I hope that it gives you peace and wellness. So for me, I could see the healing through flowers and also through my interest in charity and donation, and I would like to continue that in my business. So you really do need to play to your strength by knowing yourself and constantly playing to that strength daily. So I would say healing.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's an aspect of business that a lot of people don't appreciate, is that you can really become kind of more of yourself, more whole, more healed. Do you have any more thoughts on that, about how, like, business, like, just a change of perspective that people can have on business?
I see that you can use kindness and not necessarily aggressiveness to run a business and still survive. So people are searching for that. I noticed that people who work for businesses, collaborate with others, and also customers, they're searching for meaning and kindness. They're not looking for a static product and just a transactional exchange. They're looking for more. And what I give them throughout my project is a little investment. So I see that people need to have a little conversation. They need to be recognized for who they are and give them a little input into your perspective on life, because people do lift when they see that you're happy, glowing, and kind.
Yeah, that's really powerful. When it comes to the giving away the free flowers, was that something that you... was that like a strategic business move because you knew that it would kind of create more interest down the road? Like, wow, I can't believe that Rufina, like, have you heard? Like, she's just giving these out for free. This is so awesome. You should check out what she's doing. Or was it kind of more of just you sort of knew that it was the right thing to do? How much was strategy? How much was just pure intent?
I look at intent first, because this is an underlying value of mine. So being charitable is so high on my value list that I was naturally inclined to give. So I needed to honor that. And strategy, it was very low, but it is there. And I think it is important to include strategy in your business, because it's about survival. So I do look at the soft skills in business. That's my kindness and being charitable. But I do also look at my analytical side, and that's also making sure that I do corner a market and I am creating a niche. And I do see that it's leading me into that niche, in aged care, into mental wellness and restoring your well-being.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique niche where you're taking things that you are already passionate about as far as well-being and wellness and all that, and then you're trying to figure out, how can I tie that to what, for most people, they would have never associated the two. It's just, you're just selling flowers. Like, there's nothing too much more to do, but you're attaching a message to it, which is really cool.
That's right. I think people are searching for more philosophy to your business, and people are providing it in businesses. They're listening to customers and they're providing deep messages that resonate with them.
So what do you do on your just day-to-day? What does a day in the life of Rufina look like running your business? How much of it does it take up of your life? And then when you are working on it, what kind of things are just involved in the day-to-day?
Okay, I still leave 2 days a week in for teaching because we do need to be practical in life, and I use that to survive, and that's a financial springboard to support my business right now. So to invest in myself, I need capital. I go out and I have a very good school who work well with me, and they've made adjustments for my newfound deafness. So I do that 2 days a week, and the rest of the week, I make sure that I follow through with my project, and I also collaborate with my mentor once a month because he is a giant in the floristry industry. He works in the wedding business, John Emmanuel Floral Events, and he's taken me under his wing to mentor. So I make sure that I leave 1 week out of the month to be mentored by him on a project from start to finish. I also make sure that I touch base with new client bases. So I'll give little posies to aged care facilities, even to friends. I'd make sure that it's people I know and also new businesses so that I do create that buzz. So there's a lot of marketing involved during the week, refining my technical skills, going out there, being face to face and marketing myself, and plenty of social media, making sure I post what I produce.
How do you feel about the selling aspect? I think there are probably a lot of people listening who they're kind of artists. They would love to create something, but they'd feel uncomfortable selling it. How do you overcome that if you feel that at all?
I look at it as an exchange. I do appreciate the beauty of what I create, and I'd have to separate myself and say, now it's time for survival, and you must put a price on what you create because you've spent money to buy the resources to create your product. So you need to recoup that. You need to make sure that you keep survival at the forefront of your mind and tell yourself, I need to pay myself first. So, you need to put a price on it and a price on your creativity and have confidence. So the key is have confidence. I rarely negotiate with price, so people know the worth of my creativity.
That's very important. How would you define success? So what is it that you're looking for kind of in the next few years or decade? Like, what would you like to make out of this?
Okay, I would like to transition completely out of my teaching role. As Gary V says, if you're living in that 50-50 life, it's 0-0. So I keep that at the forefront because I think that he is a very clear and clinical decision maker, and to have 2 feet in two different roles is very tricky. Like I said, I still keep the 2 days to survive, and I would love to have a healthy, thriving business in a caring niche. So, in the sympathy business, the health and wellness, making sure that I touch base with aged care facilities, anyone who you would deem forgotten or dismissed, I would like to touch base on that and build a healthy business that thrives and offers floral joy to that area of the world.
That's a really neat mission. I love that. Again, it just goes back to the idea that your business is so much more than just a way of making money. It's a way of making an impact. And Tony Robbins talks about how business is a spiritual activity where you're taking something, an idea in your mind, and you're creating something. You're making something out of nothing in a sense. And then you're also just empowering other people. You're contributing to the world. You're growing yourself. Could you speak a little bit to how you feel like you've grown personally just through the act of trying to create this business?
Speaking on spiritual growth, as you said, I do notice a deep spiritual connection to floristry because nature is a love of mine, and I could see that you can interact in a spiritual sense with people. People tend to pause and slow down once they see flowers, and it's just that unspoken interaction, it's very powerful. And I follow that through with my spiritual philosophy, is interact with love and kindness. So if I can do those simple things, I feel as though I've represented my spiritual values well, and I can build my business brand on that and be authentic.
Absolutely. When it comes to productivity and trying to stay focused, because I know that there are a lot of different tasks. You listed some of them, and it can feel overwhelming, especially when you already have one job. Do you have any tips or tricks for someone who's wanting to get started? They're trying to, you know, develop something that they love into a side passion. What tactics have you used to help you stay productive and focused?
Well, I've had to address the trauma of my brain surgery first, and that's a very personal tip, but it's extremely vital. So I've listened to Dan Nitro Clark's podcast, and I've taken on his philosophy of being grateful. So being grateful for absolutely everything is key. I'm grateful for my health and the fact that I can now be well enough to support my passion and my dream in floristry. So Dan Nitro Clark, listening to his podcast, has been quite powerful in understanding how to be grateful. And the next thing is, I need to constantly be open to learning and be open to being taught. And that's my interaction with my floristry mentor. So when I go visit John Emmanuel's workshop and work on their weddings, which are mammoth weddings, these are weddings where installations are coming from the ceiling and, you know, flowers are meters in the air, making sure that I listen, I observe. Whenever I'm called, I just do as I'm asked. The next thing is, I share my goals. So I speak to everyone and I speak with confidence. Make sure that you address your embarrassment and say to yourself, well, are you going to survive if you feel ashamed or you're embarrassed? And I say to myself, no, I'm not. If I'm confident and firm, I know that I will survive. I know that I do have a few tips for you to share. Do you have a little bit of time?
Yes, go into that. And if you don't mind, could you start off expounding a little bit more on that point you just made about embarrassment? I think a lot of people, they might not realize it, but maybe the primary reason why they aren't starting going into their side hustle of what they're passionate about, it might be because they're afraid of what their friends from high school might think. Like, what are you doing? Why are you trying that? Like, that's not
right.
What you do.
There's validation in addressing your shame, as Dr. Brené Brown spoke of in her TEDx talks. It's very empowering to make sure that you separate that shame and the judgment that people bring across, which is very natural in society, and you need to revert to helping yourself and making sure that you take a very loving approach to yourself, a very relaxed approach, so that you feel as though you belong to you. Because we're natural, I could say, pack animals in society. We feel as though to belong, we need to make sure that we please others, to feel like we can sit with someone for lunch at school or at work. We need to make sure that we tag along with the right clique. But you really don't. I think it's important to know who you are and feel like you belong as an individual. Otherwise, when you feel shame, it will be really destructive for your passion path. So I really think that it's healthy for you to address any shame or guilt, as Dr. Brené Brown talks of, and move forward and learn how to belong as an individual.
And then, sorry, I just find this very fascinating bit. I want to go into that a little bit more still. So if I'll be transparent here, I'll be vulnerable. One of the ambitions that I have is to become a coach.
Great.
I want to use NLP and be a life coach for people and help them have breakthroughs. And yet I know that there's this part of me in the back of my mind that says, that's a scam, and other people will think it's a scam, and it's just a way to make quick money, and you're just wasting people's time, and that's not a real way to help people. And just all these voices, and I imagine them coming from like friends and family. What should I do with those? Like, when I hear those voices, like, what do I do? Do I just try to stuff them down? What do I do?
I do notice that you support the NLP program. Is that the neuro-linguistic programming?
Yes.
Yes. Now, this is also a passion of mine since doing degrees in teaching, where language and linguistics is key to reaching the right message. And I think reach the right message within yourself. The one thing that I do practice, which made a huge success for me in floristry, was self-talk. So I'll give you an example of how I use self-talk. I entered a competition straight after graduation, and it was just on a whim, and went into it with a relaxed manner. And I got all my resources and looked at the project and realized this is quite a heavy competition. So the stress rose, and I could feel those physiological effects where I was getting hot, my skin was clammy and cold. So I realized I just need to self-talk. And I did that throughout my whole construction of my competition. And I realized it was worth it when I won the competition. So that process of self-talk was extremely powerful. It brought me back to what I wanted and the direction that I needed to go in. So it really laid down the foundation that process is key, and self-talk helps you through the process of creating and also moving forward to your passion.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Just how do you talk to yourself? And like, one of the core aspects of NLP, since we're talking about it and you know about it as well, is just that the way that we feel about the world is how we're going to act. If we feel a certain way about the world, about reality, we're going to act in accordance with that. But then what explains why we feel certain ways? It's because we have communicated to ourselves certain things about reality, and we've stored that in our mind. And so through self-talk, through communicating to yourself a different narrative, you can actually change the way that you feel about things. And when you change the way you feel about things, you can change the way that you live. And so, yeah, that's just a super helpful reminder. It's just, you get to control the narrative. You get to control the voices in your head. So that's really helpful.
I like how you said that. You really get to control the narrative, and that really is essential in growth.
Yes, absolutely. And so we took a little bit of a detour there. Did you have other tactics that you wanted to mention?
Well, I've talked a lot about practicing kindness. So if I do feel unmotivated, I do tend to touch base with people, making sure that I do have exposure rather than isolating myself, because that was a very telling effect of brain surgery, where I did isolate myself for some time while I was recovering. So now I practice social exposure, making sure that when I'm not motivated in my business, that I will just run out for a cup of coffee and I'll practice kindness. I'll pause and I'll make sure I show gratitude to that person who served me, but with sincerity. It's not just the off-the-cuff thank you or snatch the coffee. I pause and really sit in that interaction. So kindness, I feel, centers me. It's a value of mine, but I really recommend for people to get in touch with what's their strength and their value and practice that, because that ends up motivating you further. So I've practiced kindness, and I make sure that I'm brave. I have social exposure. I spoke about finding a mentor, and I exchange my labor for insights. So this is how I learn the business. I spoke to my mentor and I said, these are my goals. How am I going to get there? So I said, I can offer my labor for free. And don't be afraid to offer your labor for free, whether it's for a few hours or for a few days, but it's the confidence in the way that you negotiate your labor, because it is valuable, and show that you are valuable. So exchange your labor for insights and be confident to make sure that when you offer your labor, that it is timed. You don't offer it so luxuriously. So I would say those are my key tips.
Yeah, those are really helpful. And that last point, I think, is often overlooked, where people think that they need to jump straight into something that's profitable. Often the first step is just to actually learn how to do the thing. Because like for me, I have some natural gifts that I think will help me with coaching, but I really have a lot to learn. And I heard one lady say that she spent a whole year coaching with somebody else for free. And then after that, she really had all the skills that she needed to do the marketing for herself, to be really qualified to teach what she was teaching and guide people through the coaching. And that's something I've really been thinking about, is potentially trying to find someone who's already coaching in the kind of way that I would like to, and just kind of tagging along, offering extra free sessions for people who enroll with them.
Exactly, and right.
Yeah, that's just the thought that I have right now.
Yeah, and run with it. Like Gary V always says, make the decision. So jump on it and have that voice at the back of your head. Just like whoever you align with who is great at mentoring through podcasts or visible through their business, like Gary V, Dan Itrai Clark, Carol Dweck with Growth Mindset, align with either their philosophy and see if you can find that in someone in your business area and offer that labor for that amount of time. And don't regret it. Don't harp on about giving free labor. Focus on giving with kindness and not expecting in return. And really, it does make you flourish personally and in your business.
That's such good just life advice as well, not just business advice, but that's good life advice.
Thank you. I think we do align definitely with our philosophy, and I do hope that you have great success in your coaching career.
Thank you. I wish the same for you as well.
Thank you.
And I guess in closing, one of the other things that I would like for you to do is just take a few seconds to talk to the audience and imagine you're sitting across the table from a young person, a young man, a young woman who you can tell has a passion, and yet they're kind of stuck in a set of college classes or in a 9-to-5 job, and you can tell they're just not fulfilled. How would you kind of try to shake them a little bit in a gentle, loving way to chase their dreams?
I would think as though I'm a teacher back in the classroom consulting with one of my students in a loving manner, and I would make it a very intimate interaction, and I would ask them, who are you? Because people don't often get asked who they are, who they really authentically are. And I think that's important to know, what do you value? You follow a lot of trends, fads, interests of your peers, but does that resonate with you deeply? Does that drive you to your passion? So I would firstly ask, who are you and what do you value? So you really need to look at what's the key values in your life, and the core values are always going to drive you. You're going to tap into them, and it's going to motivate you to get you to your passion. And the passion isn't the end result. It's never going to be the product. Make sure that the passion is in the process. And think about it this way. It starts now. It's not after you graduate. It's right now. You're sitting there in the lecture theater. It's what you can do now. It's in this interaction. Can you be kind to me? Could you open the door for me? Could you offer me a cup of coffee? Would you walk me to the car? You've got to think of how your behavior and your actions are going to create motivation, kindness, passion within yourself and also around you. Make sure that it's a collaborative approach and get that person to look at themselves as a collaborator, a social collaborator, and get to their passion mainly by knowing who they are and be authentic.
You mentioned the importance of knowing who you are, and you said that you would ask them, who are you? How do you answer that question?
That's a tricky one, isn't it? So I would expect someone to answer, I don't know. That's exactly what I would expect from one of my students in the class. And I'd tell them, why don't you write a few notes about who's important to you, Are there any activities that you enjoy doing that you would rather do than be sitting in a classroom or lecture theatre? Is there anything in your wildest dream that you can imagine doing that makes your heart flip and makes you smile, even just thinking about it right now? So it's just asking all those leading questions where people can start to visualize themselves as being happy. So I think it's happiness that really does guide us, but making sure that it's not a product like a salary or a material item that makes it happiness. I think it could be something that's intangible. So a social reward is happiness. You're sitting in the park with a friend and having a talk. I think that's happiness. And like I said, it's the smile to someone who served you. That is happiness over a huge salary.
That's really good advice. And I think that's a good way to end this podcast as we kind of close out now. Could you just tell people where they can find you on social media to follow you, and even if they want to do business with you if they're local?
Well, I'm in Sydney, and you can find me on Instagram at Clouds and Sweetgrass. So follow me, like my work, and I'll be glad to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rufina, for coming on the show, and for everyone listening. Follow your dreams, follow your passions, figure out what that is. Like, take the time to answer that question. Who are you? What is it that you feel you've been placed on this earth to do? And it doesn't have to be a final answer, but what is the next thing that you've been placed on this earth to do? And find a way to just get started, and your life will be so much happier. So as we head out now, go and follow Rufina, Clouds and Sweetgrass on Instagram. Feel free to rate and review this show. That would really help me out as well. And God bless. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Self-Development Podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review and rating so others can find it as well.